You met with Governor Eric Holcomb and other state officials last week. I'm sure you touched on many issues, but can you give us some of the highlights of what you discussed?
Sure, yeah, thanks. Good to see you, JD. I had a good meeting with Mayor Holcomb, about 30, 40 minutes, I guess, in his office with a few other folks that he brought. And we talked about a few things. I-69 was one, annexation was another, and then affordable housing. And then the biggest single topic was really about opioids, drug addiction, kind of some of the poverty challenges that we face, some of the state's moves, some of our efforts in trying to coordinate that.
Can you tell me a little bit about what came out of the meeting?
Sure.
Any developments?
You know, in all those areas, I felt we had a really good discussion. Governor Holcomb's been a straightforward, direct conversations. And I think listens to mayors generally. This mayor, he'll listen to what's going on annexation. It's always a little embarrassing to start a meeting by saying, "I'm sorry, I had to sue you, but I did." And so we talked about that, and he understood that. We didn't reach any resolution on that. But on I-69, you know, I've been a voice in his ear, yelling or whispering at varying times to encourage the state to step in. And I'm glad they did, and I thanked him for that. I told him I wish they did it a year earlier, but better late than never. And he had the Commissioner of Transportation there, Joe McGinnis, and we talked, and Joe's been down here one day a week in the office here for their efforts. I think they're taking it very seriously. I continue to just express on behalf of all of our residents and all the people who travel here, get this thing done. You know, get the work done. If there needs to be arguments about things later, argue about them, but let's get the work done. And I believe, proof is in the pudding, but I believe that the governor and his staff have embraced this as their project that they need to finish. And NDOT knows how to build roads, so I think they'll finish it. You know, on the crisis of opioids and addiction, that's a complex issue. I expressed some of the facts on the ground in Bloomington that we see in terms of overdoses, in terms of impact on children, in terms of impact on our public safety officials and such, just so he gets some texture about that. I think it's important. And then talked about how they can help us and work with us. I asked him to, and he agreed to send down the Commissioner of Corrections, the head of the Indiana Corrections Department, to meet with us to talk about how people come out of prison and go into parole and how that affects Bloomington and whether we really plan for that well or not. I think we need to do better. I asked him to, and he agreed to ask his Secretary of Family and Social Services Administration to meet with us to talk about the new clinic that's coming here and all the challenges that that's going to propose. So,
do you have any dates for those meetings?
I don't yet. We did get a call the next day from one of them, and that was encouraging, and I know that one of them was out of state for a week, but I expect them to happen in the short weeks ahead.
The state announced earlier this month that opioid treatment centers would be opening in more counties, and that includes Monroe County. I'm just wondering, do you think that'll have an impact on the ongoing substance abuse issues here?
Well, it will have an impact. We're trying to figure out exactly how. That was, and the governor agreed, they did not handle that well because they didn't talk to us before that announcement. So that's not a good start, but we'll make up for that. I hope they will, and we will. Having a methadone clinic or a clinic that provides medical treatment for addicts it can be very helpful. It's got to be done right, though. It's got to be done well. It's got to be coordinated with our providers, our systems, our capacities, and the fact that it was announced without any of that discussion means we got to take a breath, take a pause, and let's talk again from the beginning. Okay, what are you trying to do with this, state? What's your goal? Have you thought about these 17 things that are going to be involved with this and all the partners that need to be included around the table? So that's what I expect the meeting with the state officials is going to be focused on. When you're bringing that to town, which you've announced, how are you going to work with us? What's going to happen if somebody drops out of that program? How many people is that per week that are coming to the community? What's the plan for managing their other needs? They have not communicated that, and that's very important for to make sure it's a positive impact and not causing a bunch of unintended consequences.
Let's move now from the state to the city council.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about something that you've said that you're in favor of, that you want to see support for, which is the accessory dwelling units.
Yes.
Could you tell me a little bit about why you're in favor of these and why you want to see this implemented?
Sure. So I've spent a lot of time and energy and focus on affordable housing, which is super important for our community. And when I say affordable housing, I mean housing that serves the needs of a whole range of people, from people who have no income or very little income or disabilities, all the way up through people who have jobs but don't make much money, even to working families where you got one or two, you know, household leaders employed and working full time, but still have a challenge getting a good, decent housing in the city. So that issue is very important for our city, and I've been working with the council on it. And we've done some good things. We've got some good projects underway. We have the first ever senior housing that's going to accept Medicaid, which is really important. We've got some tax credit housing for low-income people. We've got another Crawford Center being built and other things like that for disabled homeless. But we're not. There are other things we need to do. And one of the things that I talked about and have been urging are tiny homes or accessory dwelling units, also known as granny flats or in-law flats. And the council approved pocket neighborhoods where we'll allow, and I think it's a good thing, kind of as an experimental way to let some pocket neighborhoods, some small areas of 1 to 5 acres where we'll let multiple dwellings be built that might share a common space and have smaller homes, could be tiny homes. And that's good, those pocket homes. They balked, the council did, at the accessory dwelling units, which is a fancy name for a small unit that's either in a house, next to a house, a tiny home, on an owner-occupied lot. And the city has been talking about this for 20 years, maybe more. Lots of communities around the country do this as a way both to help create small units affordable in the city and to help people who own a home sometimes stay in a home that's getting expensive, and it lets them earn a little income for it. So the council and some other people are concerned about whether this might allow too many students or others to be in owner-occupied space. I continue to believe strongly we have to keep trying this stuff. I'm going to keep advocating to the council that they allow 30 units to be tried around the city, 30 total. We have about 30,000 housing units, so it's a very small percentage footprint scattered around the city to see if this works. I've had people, I had a young lady from Pennsylvania who owned a small, tiny home. She wanted to bring it to Bloomington where she was going to work and put it in her dad's backyard. We don't allow it. We told that young woman, well, you could do it in Pennsylvania, but you can't do it in Bloomington. I think that's probably a mistake. I've had people who say a tiny home would help me stay in my house where taxes and costs are causing me difficulty, and I could get a little rental unit. And I think that's a mistake not to explore those flexibilities. But I'll work with council, and I know I think we'll and hope we'll find common ground on that.
What would you say to the people concerned that they'll be flipped into student housing mm-hmm. or something and create more population density?
Sure. Well, the fundamental requirement for this program is that there be an owner who lives on the property. Now, the owner can live in the little house or they can live in the big house, either one, but you have to have an owner of that property live there. And that's essential to make sure that you've got somebody taking care of it that way. We'll continue to talk about enforcement and ways to be sure of that, but you know, we've been talking about it for 20 years. I think we need to act. We have a housing crisis in the city. There are people, we had an IU student contact us and say she couldn't afford tuition and rent, she wanted to live out of her car for the spring semester. We told her, you're not allowed to live in your car, I'm sorry, in the city. This is a big deal for a lot of people, and we need to be taking steps, and I'm going to keep pushing for trying these things.
All right. There's been some construction along the Beeline Trail, and I'm just wondering, where are we at with the project at this point with Switchyard Park?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, it's nice being a mayor walking into a city with a beeline in it. The work that my predecessors did helping create that, having the vision to do that, that 3-mile trail is such an anchor for our community. It's so beloved already and used, and seeing the development that happens around it, you know, I talk about a string of pearls along that trail of development. And you're right, at the southern end is the Switchyard Park, which we've just started to move dirt for a big sewer project, most exciting news, I'm sure, that has to happen first, that will run a sewer down that park, future park. That should be completed this year and will begin the park construction next year in earnest in the spring. And there's a wonderful things in the city's future.
Great. And was there funding support for that project, for the sewer project? Did I hear that?
The City of Bloomington Utilities Department is funding that sewer project themselves. They're a rate payer paid organization. They just issued some bonds for that and a whole bunch of other upgrades they're doing to improve the system. So they're paying for that. And then most of the park is generally going to be paid through bonds that were issued actually before I took office back in 2015.
Do you have any updates on the IU Health Bloomington Hospital? No committee was studying the possibilities for reuse of the current site, and I was just wondering where that stands.
Here's another of our string of pearls, right? That current hospital site right on the trail. So there's a lot going on with IU Health and that hospital. There's the new site east of the bypass, north of 10th Street, that there's a ton of planning, evaluation going on of how that's going to work, transportation, water infrastructure, housing and zoning and all the things that will happen around that. And that's very active. As well, of course, the 25 acres that IU Health owns down on the current site is a big question mark slash opportunity slash a challenge to the community of what's going to happen with that. Those conversations are going on, but they're kind of simmering, I guess I would say, instead of boiling right now, the conversations about the current site. There's a few details to be worked out about timing and oversight of that location. So in the next months ahead, I think there'll be more public activity. In the end, it's going to be a big public discussion about what do we want happening there. It's going to be part of the comprehensive master plan. It's going to be public meetings. We have a lot of different views of what should be done there. And in the end, we'll have that decision. And then ultimately, City Council will have to rezone it. So we'll look for that.
All right. Well, thank you. Anything else you want to share?
No, I just hope people continue to enjoy Bloomington in the summer. We're, in these days of July, we're still a little quieter than sometimes. And next month kicks around and our town kicks it up a gear and we'll welcome a whole thousands of new people to town. That's always exciting. And the fall season of our school system and IU. And so maybe when next time we talk, we'll be looking at our busier, active city in the fall. So enjoy the summer while you have it.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, JD.
Thanks.